Ephesians chapter 6. Would you stand with me as we read a few verses here from God's Word? Very familiar passage. You've heard it many, many times. Probably have it nearly memorized, if not memorized. Let's look at it together this morning. Verse number 10 and following. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because of all of this, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Lord Jesus, I ask for your special touch today. Thank you for the word that you've given and provided for us for this Sunday morning. Now I pray that you would provide the anointing that is necessary both to hearers as well as to the speaker. Give me that touch that I need to effectively communicate your word. Give that touch to each one of us as we listen, as we hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The thought that I want us to look at this morning, or the title, God-given defenses. You might say, well, preacher, you stopped short of the defenses. You didn't go ahead and read the full armor. It's because I want us to focus on something else, not necessarily the given text that is to follow here, but God-given defenses as we fight in this spiritual battle. The first thing I want us to realize, the first thing I want us to draw our attention on is found in verse number 10, and that is simply put that there is no room in spiritual warfare for self-reliance. Mark it down. If needs be, write it down. There is no room in spiritual warfare for self-reliance. Relying on self. We cannot make it by ourselves. Paul very clearly here tells the Ephesian church, telling us, be strong in the Lord. Find the power that is necessary in his might. The Old Testament prophet said, it's not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Paul also tells Timothy in the second epistle to Timothy in chapter 2, he said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself today, but I believe that it's very real for us that we can get lost in the midst of our daily lives to the point that we are living on our own strength. We are walking in our own ability. We are preaching by the power that God has just simply given to mankind or to a person. We need the daily anointing of the Holy Spirit. Be strong in the Lord. Be powerful in His might. Now, in order to be strong, there's really a need for exercise. A need for using the defenses that he gives us, availing ourselves of the defenses that he provides. exercising these abilities or exercising these defenses, be strong in His power, in His might, and allowing His defenses to become an active role in our lives. Now, He's given us some weapons. We realize as we read it that we find very first of all that He's given us the armor, the full armor, and He tells us that we are to take on the whole armor of God. Not just pick and choose, not just piecemeal, not just the things that we think are most effective for us, but He said, take on the whole armor of God, because you will need the whole armor to withstand in the evil day. God has given us some weapons of force. The first weapon of force that I want us to look at this morning is the force of prayer. We need to have the force of prayer as a God-given defense in order for us to effectively fight spiritual warfare. The force of prayer. God hears our prayers. God hears our prayers. Even if all the circumstances around us are saying no, and the feelings of your innermost being are saying to you that otherwise, God still hears our prayers. I've been there, maybe you've been there. You felt like your prayers were bouncing off of a ceiling of brass. We use that. They're bouncing back at me. They're not going anywhere. That's certainly a trick of the enemy, for God hears our prayers. That is a defense that He has provided for us. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against spiritual powers. We're fighting against spiritual wickedness. We're fighting against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We need something more than what we are capable of, and that would come through the power or the force of prayer. I wish that somebody could explain to me in full detail what Jesus is talking about, or what it is given to us in Matthew 11:12, where it says, from the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. There seems to be something wrapped up in there that would provide us a strength or a power that goes way beyond the ability of mankind, and a power that God only can provide. The defense of prayer, or the force of prayer. God not only hears our prayers, but He has not forsaken or forgotten your prayer. You and I can be encouraged that Daniel prayed 21 days. Oh, that's nothing. You've been praying for 21 years. 21 months. Maybe you've prayed for a long, long time. 21 days doesn't seem to be too much. Well, I would say that as we read the passage there about this prayer of Daniel, that it was a desperate time. That 21 days without hearing the answer back from heaven may have felt with Daniel as though it was 21 years. God does not forget our prayers. God answers our prayers. God gives us what we have need of. And even though Daniel, in the midst of that dark valley that he was in, he would pray for 21 days and God gave him an answer. And then you think about Hannah. You know, you think about Hannah asking for a son. She didn't pray 21 days as was recorded. It doesn't tell us that she prayed 21 days. It's not that she spent all of her life praying, but the focus of her prayer was on that one day, and yet it was probably many years that she was praying that prayer, but the focus came when she was in the temple and praying and seeking God and begging God in earnestness. That's the focus of her prayer. And we find that she left there to go out, and God answered her prayer. Wouldn't it be nice if we could replicate that sort of thing? Wouldn't it be nice if we could reproduce this prayer of Daniel so that after 21 days, suddenly the answer appears, or this prayer of Hannah's? That we could reproduce it for our circumstances and for our situation and be able to pray that prayer and God miraculously steps in. But you know, it can't be replicated by passing fancy or with a passing whim. It's going to only be able to be replicated through the same intensity and passion and desperation that was involved with the people that were praying them. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to replicate Elijah's prayer? So few words and yet such powerful effects. It doesn't come with reproducing. It doesn't come with just simply a passing fancy or a personal little simple desire. But it can only begin to be replicated when we, with the same passion and desperation and need, come to that place where we can pray effectively for the answers to come. Not only does God hear our prayer and God does not forget our prayers, but God also answers our prayers. Here's a thought that may astound us sometimes. God doesn't always answer our prayers, though, in our lifetime. He might not answer our prayer in our lifetime, but God answers prayer. There's a whole lot of things that we could probably look at this morning if time would permit and our mind would be able to take it all in today. What it would be that would hinder the answers to God's, or the answers that God wants to give us to our prayers. What is it that could hinder our prayers? What is it that could weaken the defense or the force of prayer that God provides for us as a defense? Oh, I know the first thing that comes to your mind is sin. And sin in our mind is a three-letter word with a broad definition without really coming down to the brass tacks or to where the rubber meets the road. Sin is something out there in somebody else's life, somebody else's situation. We don't really look at ourselves and say, well, God's not answering prayer because of sin that's hindering in my own situation. What is it that could be causing us to lose the effectiveness of our prayers being answered? The second thing that I want us to notice this morning, the God-given defenses that He provides, not only the force of prayer, but also the force of the Holy Spirit. The force of the Holy Spirit. Is He active? Is He active in your life? The force of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come that we might have guidance. He would lead us into all truth. The Holy Spirit has come that we would have comfort. The Comforter has come, the Paraclete. The Anointed One from heaven provides for us all that we need to walk holy in this present evil world. The Holy Spirit has come that He would reveal Jesus to us. Though we cannot see Him, He would reveal Jesus to us. The Holy Spirit has come that He would revive the church and stir the slumbering chords again. He would issue fresh life and fresh breath into a valley of dry bones. He, the Holy Spirit, is come. Becomes a force, a defense in this dark world. We can't replace him. We might try. People do try. People come up with all sorts of means and measures and methods to replace the power of the Holy Spirit because they don't have the Holy Spirit's power. It's not active in their lives. So they do all kinds of things to replace him. But without the Holy Spirit, plain and simple, without the Holy Spirit, we are powerless. No matter how much we change our methods, or no matter how much we try to instigate the excitement of something or the passion of something, we cannot reproduce the power of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we are simply powerless. We do not find the strength that is necessary without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like rain to dry crops, food to the hungry, love to a marriage, money to the poor. We could go on with a list of things that the Holy Spirit could be considered like unto. We simply cannot manage or make it without the power of the Holy Spirit working in us as a defense that God gives us in darkened times. Holy Spirit is necessary. It's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit to take the fight back to the world. You understand? It's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. The third thing that I noticed, that the God-given defense. We have the force of prayer. We have the force of the Holy Spirit. We also have something else that falls into our hands, falls into our responsibility a little bit more, and that is the force of our own will. We have the force of prayer. We have the force of the Holy Spirit. Both of those things kind of hinge on something that we do or something that we are or the desire of our heart. But it also comes down to the force of our will. What is it that I want? What is it that I choose? What is the direction that I want to go? What is the end result? Where do I want to end up? You see, we have a choice in the matter. We realize, we understand, it's a part of our spiritual upbringing that we are free moral agents. We have the ability to choose. That's what sets us apart from so many other things of God's creation, that God gave us a choice. Is your choice a daily choice? Choosing daily to follow him. Choosing daily to give him the battle and give him the temptation and lay it over onto him and allow the power or the force of prayer and the force of the Holy Spirit to wrap itself and influence my life that my choice, my will, continues to choose God. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual matter. We need something that'll go beyond the norm, go beyond the power of the world around us. And that choice that is ours can say, I am determined. I've made up my mind. I've never been an addict. I guess except for maybe for the short time when I don't know how many years, it wasn't very many years that you could say that I was addicted to Mountain Dew. People talk about it. People talk about their addiction to caffeine, but I don't know if you want to argue the point today, if it's right or wrong, but you could say that I was addicted to caffeine, but it came a point in time when I chose, and maybe you'd say because you chose so easily and chose so quickly to break that addiction that it really wasn't truly an addiction. Well, that is an arguable point. But it comes back every time, it seems to me, as I read God's Word and I try to understand what people face, that there's still a choice that a person makes in their lives. And that choice then provides the ability of the Holy Spirit to lend power and strength and that help that is needed. I cannot make it on my own, Paul said. Finally, my brethren, you can read all that he said before that. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. As though it's a choice that is able to be made by the individual, say, I choose God's power. I choose to be strong in His might. I'm not able to make it on my own. I choose to follow Him. If we could take a vote this morning, with all that you know, or all that you think you know, it doesn't matter, which would be the most powerful force? Could it be that the most powerful force is the force of our will? You're probably sitting there saying, shaking your head, no. Internally, you're saying, no, it's not the most powerful. The force of my will is not the most powerful. And yet, the power of the Holy Spirit, though it is all powerful, does not overstep the boundaries of our will. We would probably think that the power of the Holy Spirit is the greatest, and sure enough, in the sense and in the true measure of power, the Holy Spirit is boundless. Except when we say, I choose my own. You see, the power of our choice, it's a force that God has given to us to say within ourselves, I choose God. Joshua in the Old Testament very clearly portrays the importance of that choice, reiterating all that God had done for the children of Israel and the challenges that were before them and the distinct need of something to help them in the days ahead. Joshua challenged the people, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He was making his choice. And it was from that choice then that the power of God was infused into his life and into his direction and into his further choices. But the power of God was not infused. It was not given until he had chosen, until the action of his will was placed in full accord with the will of God. But that was his choice. Daily choose to follow him. In the midst of every battle, in the midst of every temptation, you must choose to follow after God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor. Take on the whole defense that God provides, because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But a spiritual warfare is surely around us, and we have God-given defense, the force of prayer, the force of the Holy Spirit, the force of our will, choosing to follow Him. Let's stand together this morning.